is the Two Marketeers podcast, where hosts and marketing experts Sean Patrick and Lindsay Waugh seek to uncover what makes brands so powerful and how they impact modern society and culture. Two Marketeers. They've got a podcast.
The Two Marketeers podcast. Welcome back, Marketeers. As we jump into part two of this episode, where Lindsay and I talk about the documentary Kill Your Darlings, the current and future state of the advertising industry, picking up where we left off in part one, Lindsay and I continue our conversation talking about what we think are some flaws in the current advertising model and what we think might be ways of fixing them. I mean, it's opinion, but have a listen and you decide.
I always had a major problem with that, like having the warm bum in the seat be the one who has to do the work. Like for me, that's one of the biggest issues in the industry is that people have jobs. Like I think that for me is such a problem.
So
because
true.
You're on a salary, you're on a team, you have a cost associated with you. So because work comes in the door, the person who has cost associated them better be doing something. They better be doing the most amount they can possibly do for the money that they're getting paid. So they're working midnights, they're working weekends before they'll bring in another body. But also, who said that person was the right person to be consulting on this problem, you know?
Who made that decision?
Yeah, and it's because it's a business decision. You're totally right. And so we're trying to be like very intentional about 2024 and what goes on. And one of my biggest priorities is diversity of thinking, diversity of problem solving, like getting the right person. If it's not me, getting the right person to think about the problem, like how do we do that in the best way? I think for me, that's one of the biggest issues in the industry. Hot bum in the seat.
Yeah. Yes. You know? Well, yeah, I think another big problem with my big thing is in my head, I need to rethink how I want to make money doing what I do.
Do tell.
Well, no, it's just, no, I just, it's been
like,
a challenge of mine ever since.
Where are we going?
No. It's been a challenge of mine ever since I went on my own and became Wise Guy. And, you know, we've got Patrick Paradisi, but it's like, yeah, but those models are the same. And if you do it right, you can exploit them to your advantage. I'm being bold here, but if you're paying for a warm bum in a seat and that person, that warm bum doesn't have the work because the business can't get it to them, that doesn't mean I don't get paid. So what happens is when you become very valued for your time, not for the time you work, but for the time you're booked, therefore have to refuse work from others. That was a big shift in the industry where it's like, well, you didn't do anything. Why should I pay you? It's like, because by asking for me to commit, you have stopped my revenue to commit to others.
It's the opportunity cost.
Yeah. And that's really evolved. And, you know, sometimes you'll make money that way. How fulfilling is that? It's that right balance of, okay, that's okay too. You got to run the business. It needs to make money. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to really figure out, cause you know, what's your hourly rate? I still do that. I try and price projects based on the value I see in them. I'll give them hours of what I, you know, they'll be like, well, how many hours is that? And I'm like, oh, do the math. Like you have my rate. All I'm saying is if you need this done, you need me for a week and you need me focusing on nothing else. That's the kind of work I really like to do.
Yeah.
So it's like, but I'm still playing the agency game, even though like we all become agents, right? Like just like Cindy Gallup, we're our own agents. We negotiate. And Lindsay, you've said it really well. I've discovered I'm a very good negotiator, but even so, am I fulfilled after that? Was I hired to do not only what I was hired to do, was I hired to do something I wanted to do?
Right. I think that, so one of the issues which I'm hyper aware of, and I don't know that I'm doing a good job at this, is that they said people are stepping out of the system to start their own shops, but they're starting their own shops in the same way. They're playing in the same system. So a lot of like people have really great intention as to be like, I'm going to do this differently. I'm going to go start my own shop. I'm going to go do this and it's going to be different. And it ends up being the same. Like it ends up being similar because there's certain structures and paradigms and like how the industry works that we need to be able to play within, especially when you're trying to stand up something new, right? Like you need to make money, you need to get clients, all of the money and the clients play within the current system. And so at some point, it's got to be a balance of like, how do I play in the current way that we do things, but also how do I do it differently, and how do I do it differently, but also successfully so I can keep doing it differently. I think that's the real issue as people recognize the problem, try to step out of it, still need to play within it, but then change it at the same time.
Yeah, I think that's great because it gives us all a level of accountability of how are we going to change the perception we create.
Yeah.
And the guy, I think his name was Nils Leonard. He's the one who talks about like, they were on an NDA. So he clearly left a really big agency. He left with a couple other
non-compete.
Yeah, so it was the non-compete for a year, and he was really frustrated by it. He goes, it's the best thing that could have happened because I had to get out of the day-to-day industry and come back looking at it objectively to build what I wanted to build.
Yeah,
you know, he said something that I really love. It was a lot of creatives are leaving agencies, and I'm a fan of that. It's not the death of the industry. It's the death of that agency. And maybe that agency should fucking die.
I was dying. I was like, maybe, like, good on him.
Yeah. What was good about that is let's have hope that if creatives can take hold of it and protect it ourselves, it's our job to protect. And that's exactly what a lot of them have done. It can be a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, last week when we talked to Alina, you said it perfectly. It's 2024 is the year of the indie.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like there's going to be the shifts that need to happen, and those shifts are going to happen by non-public organizations, by companies that aren't part of a bottom line, that companies are about, you know, the key part of the reward is fulfillment. So you know, the pay is the result of being your best. You better be your best or else. It's imagine if there's no or else. You don't need to tell a great creative, putting pressure on them to make sure they don't screw it up. If that's what you have to do, there's a problem, because we as creatives want to solve problems. It's how our creativity thrives, in solving that problem, in every step of the process, asking questions, trying, obsessed with figuring out. And that problem cannot be because the client is paying for it.
Right. I think you're right. I think there is a lot of optimism though. Like I do think that some of these shifts are taking place and the changes that need to be made are still progressing forward. And I've just loved how they ended everything, because like I said before, that one quote of we can make the industry that we wish we worked in. I literally wrote this down on a post-it note, now have it on my monitor, this next quote. They said, enjoy the ride. One day you'll miss the moment you are starting when anything is possible. It's a fight for freedom and creativity. Let's go.
Boom, boom, rally cry.
Yeah, and I was like, yeah, anything's possible, like honestly. And as people start to rethink it and decide to step out of the traditional model of it and even just work on thinking how it could be different, I think there is a lot of optimism in that, and people are going to make some really big changes.
Yeah, there's a couple things like that Jessica person. She says, at the end of the day, I don't pick the agency. I pick the individuals. And that's so salient. That's so important, because the agency often will win work without even having the people in place who will work on it.
Mm-hmm.
We worked at a big company/agency that pitch was its own department, and the people who won the work, they would work with people, but the people who won the work would never be on the project because they were good at pitching. So it's like it's crazy. But she says, when I look back, the best work has happened when I've engaged directly with the creatives. And this was my point. There's a lot of extra bodies in the older model. And I think it's because there was always that perception of the ivory tower of creatives, and you can't waste their time in discussions. And that's kind of a big reason why I did what I did, because I work directly with my clients and they appreciate it. And it's so much more efficient than have a meeting and then the people who are in that meeting have another meeting to talk to the people who aren't in that meeting. Like, it's just this, like, there's just a lot of bodies, and I wish everyone well. But oof, I don't know where I'm going with this, because that's the existential crisis, I think, is that I should run my own company, but I don't even think I want to.
Well, it's tricky because like a lot of times you leave a company because you want things to be different, and then you want to start to do it your own way, and largely because that's because of the work, not because of running a company. So then you end up running a company when really you're in it for the work and the relationship. So that's also where it kind of gets tricky. And like, how do you build a different company when you're really in it for the work? Like, almost like business and creative, it's you do it quite well in that you're very good at both the business and the creative side of things, but it's not everyone's forte to be a creative and run a business.
It's also very difficult for me at times, because like I was just out with a friend last week and they're a big CEO at a company, and he just says, "Do you do websites?" And it took everything I had to be like, "That's not a question." I did. I said, "That's not
To
a
not
question."
like flip
No, like, oh, buddy. But it is to say, I say no. I don't think I realize how much I say no, often to what could be arguably the demise of my business's bottom line. But I also have made the decision that for now, the bottom line is fine. I'm giving myself the freedom to really figure out, like, to live what these people are saying. Listen, I'm not winning awards. I'm still a guy working by myself. I have this podcast to keep Lindsay annoyed, but it's like something's going to happen, and I think it's starting to happen. I hope. That Karen from Lyft said something. She says, "Do you think the agents, what do you think will happen with the agency? Do you think the agency model will continue?" And she says, she pauses. She heads up I think brand at Lyft. She says, "There will always be some shape of making money by providing creative services." That's all I'm gonna say. So come on, people, show us what that looks like.
I know that's where in the beginning when he says like the industry will go away, like maybe I don't, he didn't say like as we know it today. So I'm like, yeah, maybe parts of what we do now will be gone, but the industry will not be gone. Do you have any other final quotes in there that you wanted to bring forward?
Let me see. One, just a lovely man at the end, and his name is Fernando Machado, and he's Activision Blizzard. And he said, and this is where it's like one of the last scenes, and he says, "As a client," okay, so he's a client, "I try my best to protect the ideas." And he understands his role. He even goes on to say, "I to be able to be ready to die on the sword of a good idea." And I'm like, there it is. And that's what we're talking about, clients and agencies and like all the buyers of our services in this documentary are saying, once you get that sort of business model out of the way, all I want to do is work with really smart, creative people. That's all they want. And so that was a real sort of like, God bless him. And I think you've talked about clients that you've had. You're like, there's a new kind of client out there that truly, although those budgets are coming down, that's just the way it is. So how do we be smarter? And our clients need to be smarter about how you use those budgets.
Yeah, I think a big role of creative people, and this is a massive gap, I think, on the client side and in like marketing roles on in brands and businesses, is the ability to evaluate a creative idea. So I think a lot of times marketing people at businesses and brands And also people within agencies who may not be the creative teams aren't taught how to evaluate creative ideas. I was never taught how to evaluate creative ideas. It's something that you learn, something that I learned as you go through the years of your career. So like 15 years later, when you've seen 15 years worth of ideas, you really start to be able to be like, this is what a good idea looks like. And this is how a good idea lines back up to strategy so it can fulfill goals. And this is how you massage great ideas to be effective ideas. But who's teaching people how to evaluate creative ideas? Who's teaching people what a good idea looks like? When this person says, I protect the ideas and I will die on the sword, how are people learning which ideas are worth protecting? I think a lot of the time, clients don't know what a good idea is, and they can't see where the idea came from or where it could possibly go, like the longevity of an idea and how it can like flex within an ecosystem and all of these different types of elements. I've worked with a couple of like CMO people who are amazing at identifying great ideas and could do just that, protect that idea and champion it as it flows through the business. Because the second you get sales involved or CEO involved or reporting or finance involved, then the ideas start to change, right? So you need someone who will protect that idea. But I would say 90% of the time, folks responsible for evaluating ideas just don't know how.
Yeah, there's a lot of people, as much as we say, you know, creativity is everyone's job, there's a lot of people in business who don't want that job. Mm-hmm. As you said, how do these people, how do they learn? It's, well, there's a wall there. And it's just that whole spirit of collaboration is you are collaborating with your client.
Mm-hmm. And I think in that collaboration is where the learning actually comes from. So when a creative is closely collaborating with a client, at the same time, the creative is teaching the client how to evaluate the ideas and what are good ideas. And the client is teaching the creative how ideas come to life in a business side, what they're responsible to do, what the ideas need to deliver on in order to show the value of marketing and of advertising in order to be able to continue like to do that work that drives effectiveness. So I think that collaboration actually, now that I think about it, and I never thought about it until you said that, is those moments when I've been really closely collaborating with clients is likely the times when I was helping to teach them how creative and strategy was going to land the idea for their business at the same time while they were teaching me how the ideas deliver effectiveness for the business.
Yeah, and when you say that, I remember that. I remember that happening. It didn't matter who was talking about the business side or the creative side. It was all about trying to understand, figure out what the problem was. And, you know, we made it our jobs on top of all the other things to do to just sit and collaborate and figure it out. Mm-hmm. And nothing has ever been as rewarding for me personally. I mean, you're a nice person and everything, but it's that non-threatening relationship. It's a very vulnerable position, but when you get that and you earn that trust is unbreakable.
Yeah, and that's what gets to the best work because it fulfills the creative and the business side in combination.
And like Jessica Spence said, she's not paying for an agency. She's paying for the people that she's hiring, right? Those are the people who need to understand her business. And the whole idea is the agency model often just becomes this sort of mill or filter between the two of it makes money by just brokering the transaction, which is another business model, right? So we've talked about a lot of things. I think for me, the biggest learning is I did find it inspiring, but I found it inspiring towards starting on a journey. I don't know what the finish line looks like. It's just like, I know I'm creative. I've done this for a long time. I know I love what I do. I just need to keep doing what I love to do and something will work out.
Yeah.
Right?
I think there are things going on in the industry worth changing by stepping out of it and trying to do things your own way. You're a part of what that change could be, whether you know what the right answer is or not.
Yeah.
And even as they said in the end, to enjoy the ride, like you're in By stepping out, by trying to do it differently, you are in the ride of like change that needs to happen. And it's just it's a cool spot to be in, because like they say, anything's possible if you just start to try to do it differently.
Yeah. And I guess maybe that's why, like you said, you know, it was hard to watch the first time we saw it. It was too real. It was like, to me, it's like, yeah, she's 26. I'm 54. And I don't know the answer to her questions. But then, like you said, Lindsay, isn't that where I want to be? And I got to be like, yeah, I think I do.
Yeah, great prompt to watch that. I love it. I've already shared it with multiple people. I want to watch. I think it's one of those things, too. You'd watch it multiple times and get a lot of different things out of it. But yeah, check it out. We'll share the link in the notes. And I want to hear what other people take away from it, too.
I think the thing, I watched it four times, and the simplest thing I come back with is, when you're creative, when you're identified as a creative, don't humble yourself when it comes to how business works. We think business is so complicated, and it's really not.
Yeah.
And I think that's why we see business as how a lot of the business run today, and it is so fucking complicated. But really, when it's like, what if I did what I do and just got paid for that? And you'll figure it out. It's possible. And who knows what models will come out. I think I'm one of those people where I'm like, I can't wait till someone figures it out so then I can just use theirs.
What is it you say? Stand on the shoulder of giants?
Stand on the shoulders of giants. So come on, giants, step up. Yeah. Anyways, thanks, Lindsay. Big conversation.
That was a really fun topic. And we'll see you next time.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody. Have a great day. Thanks for listening to the Two Marketeers podcast. New episodes launch every 2 weeks.
Find the Two Marketeers podcast on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, or wherever you like to listen. And be sure to rate and subscribe.
Listen on our website, thetwomarketeers.ca, or you can ask Alexa to play the Two Marketeers podcast.
Want to keep in touch? Follow the Two Marketeers on LinkedIn or at Two Marketeers on TikTok. We've always got something to share.
This podcast is over.